It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
We've had lots of conversations with couples too of like, yeah, I want to pray with my spouse, but that feels hard. That's a very intimate thing to do. And I don't even know what to say.
It's the most intimate thing you can do. It's more intimate than sex. It's more intimate than anything. When you have, when you sit down and you actually are opening up your heart to God out loud in front of your spouse, there's things that are going on that your spouse doesn't even know about. And you're like sharing it with God for the first time and them for the first time. It's like, that's terrifying.
Dear young married couple, a recent Gallup poll revealed the divorce rate among couples who pray together regularly. And get this, it's 1 out of 1,152 couples will divorce. That's less than 1%. That's less than 0.1%. So if you want to look at shifting the divorce rate in your marriage, this is the one thing that can change it dramatically.
I think you all can see prayer is important. And praying together is incredibly important, and not just for your marriage, but the continuity of your family. Mm-hmm. In this episode, we talk with Aaron and Jennifer Smith, who wrote the book called The Marriage Gift, and it's 365 prayers for your marriage. And we really just dive deep into prayer, and it has, I think this episode has a lot of great ideas of places to incorporate prayer in your marriage. Topics to pray for that you maybe not wouldn't otherwise do. So this is really a challenge.
Yeah. Aaron and Jennifer are an awesome couple. They have written a lot of other books, 11 books altogether, and they have the podcast called Marriage After God. So tune into this episode to learn about prayer, but specifically praying together as a married couple. Welcome, Aaron and Jennifer, to the podcast. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
Hi, everyone.
Absolutely. Well, prayer obviously is of utmost importance in a relationship, but it often doesn't receive that much attention, even from Bible-believing Christian couples who would say that prayer is most important. So we want to dig into that with you guys today.
So tell us a little bit about, well, we have your book in front of us. It's The Marriage Gift, and it's 365 prayers for our marriage. Mm-hmm. I'm sure this was a work of passion, but what kind of started you on this journey to write a book on prayer to help couples pray?
This has been a long time coming for us. I feel like it's been a seed in our hearts for a long time. We've been doing this ministry for over a decade.
Yeah, 12-ish years.
Yeah. And when we first launched it, the whole premise was that I was going to have this blog and share not necessarily like how to have the best marriage, but just what I'm learning in marriage and go from there. Because we were learning along the way, like, what is this?
Yeah, what's God showing us?
And some of the most important things that I was learning at the time was how powerful prayer is in marriage. And so Aaron helped me figure out how to do this thing where we would send out daily prayers via email, and even through like social media, we would share some of them. And that's always been a main feature of our ministry, speaking to husbands and wives and encouraging them like, hey, consider this when you go to pray today. And so some of our other books too reflect this heart of prayer and desire to like inspire people, like you can do this. And maybe it's not something you're thinking about right now, but using one of our resources, maybe you can get started. Yeah. And so kind of we took the same approach to this book. We wanted it to be robust. We know that marriage provides a lot of different areas that you could be praying for, that we should be praying for. Mm-hmm. And so we took several years to kind of make a gigantic list of like, okay.
What are all the topics that we believe couples might not be thinking about? Mm-hmm. And topics that they do think about, and then just giving them a template, giving them a catalyst so that they can start praying daily.
Yeah. And our hope was that with this book that people would start to pray and kind of add in their own personal touch as they're praying, knowing what the topic for the day is, And also as they're doing it alongside their spouse, because they know the details of their marriage, they know exactly what they're walking through. And even sometimes we know the things that we're walking through and we forget about certain things. And so we just hope that this is an all around encouragement for people to who maybe are on autopilot, you know, like maybe they're just not thinking about it, or maybe it's been something that they have kind of been insecure about. Cause we've had lots of conversations with couples too, of like, yeah, I want to pray with my spouse, but that feels hard. That's a very intimate thing to do. And I don't even know what to say. And so by starting out with a prayer that's already written out, not only does it become a little bit easier, that initial launching off point, but our hope is that it also becomes a conversation talking point of, hey, we just prayed this, but now we should probably talk about it because we haven't actually
we haven't thought about this before.
Depending that's on how long you've so been married, good. You know?
Totally. And
so I just want to ask you to tag in with what you're saying here. I think a lot of couples have a hard time praying out loud. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, and
we've heard this. I don't know what the hang up is per se. I'm sure for different people, it could be a mixture of insecurities there, but we compare ourselves. I know I've done that with you, Aaron. Like, he'll pray this really awesome prayer, and then I'm like, oh, I got to follow that up.
Like it's a performance or something.
Yeah, but we do that. And you know, sometimes I think, well, I'm a writer. I like to write. So maybe I'll just write out what I want to pray. And I tell people that too. Like, sometimes, you know, when you first start praying with your spouse, maybe it's not something that you jump straight to doing like, saying it out loud. Maybe you do just write it out in a text and say it, let them know, like, hey, I'm praying for you. Because that does feel easier sometimes.
I think a lot of believers also may not have had an example growing up of, like, maybe their parents didn't pray with them, or maybe they only prayed at dinner, or they only prayed at church. There was no like regular consistent, like, hey, this is how we talk to God. This is why we talk to God. This is I mean, we had examples growing up, and so I think we had a little bit of a foundation, but we know lots of people didn't. We know lots of people, even if their parents were believers, maybe their parents didn't know to be praying for their children in front of their children. Like we talked about, you were talking about earlier, when we first started this, was there's a lot of believers that they just don't, or it's difficult, or it's uncomfortable. I think the other reason believers probably have a hard time praying with their spouse, and we bring this up a lot, is it's the most intimate thing you can do. It's more intimate than physical sex. Yeah. It's more intimate than anything. When you sit down and you actually are opening up your heart to God out loud in front of your spouse, especially if there's confession, if there's repentance, if there's things that are going on that your spouse doesn't even know about, and you're like sharing it with God for the first time and them for the first time, it's like, That's terrifying.
It's vulnerable. Yeah.
Very vulnerable.
On the positive, it's really beautiful. If I could just chime in, of the person that gets to peek in and see and hear someone else speaking to God and hearing them reveal their heart, like, that is a powerful thing for the person that is tuning in and sitting alongside them. I've enjoyed that about our marriage, that I get to see Aaron's relationship with the Lord and how it communicates with him and the things that he shares with him. And that helps me know Aaron better. That helps me know the things that he's struggling with and how I can be praying for him.
I was going to say, it says a couple things when you choose to do this. It says a couple things. It says, I want to grow closer to God. It says, I want this to be a part of our marriage. It also says, I trust you enough to hear my heart, and I trust God enough to hear my heart. And so you're revealing to your spouse that you want them to be a part of that. You want them to know that you want to be revealed. There's a lot of marriages that go through life and they love each other and they feel close, but they don't ever fully know each other. And we desire that marriages, husbands and wives around the world, especially those who believe in God and claim, you know, the name of Jesus, would be real and open, and that they would truly know each other. You know, talking about intimacy, the word that the Bible uses for sex is knowledge, or know, like he knew. And so there's this level of knowledge that you gain that doesn't exist outside of doing this. When you go to God openly, we're as a unit, as one, not just me and my private relationship over here with God, and you have nothing to do with it, Jennifer, but you're in it with me, and I'm going to go to God for you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to hear my heart, and I'm going to I'm going to trust God that you're going to trust him to deal with my heart also, mm-hmm. and to take care with my heart, and vice versa, that we're going to do that with each other. So
it requires a lot of trust.
Oh gosh. It's yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful thing. But that's why we made this book, was that this would be like just an amazingly easy stepping stone to start. Yes. Because they get to use it together or separately. We've actually written in a way that they can use it separately if they want. Mm-hmm. Our desire is that they would use it together, but yeah. they can do it whatever.
Well, speak to that a little bit, because I think a lot of couples, and this was us at the beginning of our marriage, you know, we both love God and, you know, 15 years ago had our own prayer walk with God,
yeah.
but we didn't see the benefit or the necessity of praying together.
I would say it's not that we didn't see the benefit. It's just that we didn't properly value.
Right.
Because we could have done it, but we're, you know, quotes, air quotes, so busy, or
yeah.
I had to wake up too early and
align our schedule.
Yeah. Aligning our schedules was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so it was that point of definitely kind of guilt mm-hmm. in our marriage for a long time. Like, oh, we should be praying because that's what Christians do together. You know, yeah. good marriages.
We're not doing all the
right
things.
But you know what? Like, just like when you get married and there's a learning curve with like, okay, now I'm living with this person and now there's...
got to share a bed.
And we share a bed. We share all these different things.
Where did the laundry go?
And he has his ways of doing things and I have my ways. And the same way you take time to learn all those things and figure out how to compromise and do things together, prayer is no different. And when you do value it and want to do it together, it just requires a little bit of adjustment in that, you know, area
and practice spiritual discipline. Walking in it. Like I bring this up often when it comes to prayer and actually many things that are spiritual. If it was a natural thing, we would just do it, but it's not a natural thing. Yeah. It's a supernatural thing. Going out of your way to say, I'm going to talk to the invisible God, the God that I cannot see, that I cannot touch, that I cannot hear, and with my senses, and I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to believe that he's hearing me and I'm going to believe that he's listening to me. And so then you add on top of that, your spouse being there with you and hearing those things. Mm-hmm. So it takes practice. It takes training. It's why Jesus had to teach the disciples, because they're like, teach us how to do what you're doing, because I've never seen that before.
Right. Exactly.
I love that. Okay. So you said practice. So I just want to share this for the people listening and then maybe see what you guys have done. But we've had different times of our life where, you know, like we talked about that first many years, we struggled to pray. Mm-hmm. Then we kind of got on the bandwagon here and there. And I think recently, not recently, probably years ago, but this was one of the really, when everything really started clicking for us, when we had a deep conversation of like, we need to pray. And Kristen said, I want to see you as the spiritual leader to lead us in prayer. I'm like, okay, well, meet me on the couch. You know, let's pray. and there's, you know, we're talking, kind of putting each other and like trying to figure out how to do it most efficiently. And I remember having this discussion where Chris is like, you know, what can we do to make this a habit? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I was expressing my frustration with trying to make it a habit. I remember we figured out a way of, I would get up when the alarm goes off and shut off the fan and open the blackout curtains that we have in our room. And I always go make my coffee, and it gives her a couple of minutes to wake up and go get dressed or whatever. But for us, that was kind of that first habitual step mm-hmm. that we make in the morning. Then we sit ourselves down, we do a devotion together, and we pray together. Mm-hmm. But that simple thing of, okay, the expectation, Adam, is to turn off the fan mm-hmm. so everything goes quiet and it's time to wake up and open up the blinds so the sunlight could come in. That was really helpful for us to start establishing that routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you guys go through something or a process to figure that out? What did your prayer journey look like?
Well, Aaron already mentioned that we kind of had the example growing up of what prayer was, and we were already doing it individually. So when we came together in our relationship, it was an easy thing to just, I don't know how to explain it, but we prayed like at night before we left each other during the dating and engagement period. And then it kind of just, it stayed a night thing the majority of our marriage, I would say that. And so for us, our cue was at bedtime. before going to bed. That was always our time to dive into prayer. And we'd also talk about the day first and flush things out that maybe needed to be talked about.
It also meant that for the most part, we were always going to bed at the same time.
Yeah. Which I know that I've always appreciated and loved
people
that.
People talking about that for just a powerful tool for marriages. Yeah. Like, hey, go to bed at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what you're talking about is so important. And I know that they've touched on it in habit books, like The Power of Habit and other things. Yep. They talk about coupling and
taking two patterns and trying to, or taking one pattern you already have and adding something to it.
To remind you. And When we have cues, like human beings, we tune into patterns and ways of being that are easier for us and more convenient. And so I love that for you. It was the fan and the lights and let the light in. Even spiritually, when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that's really powerful. So for couples listening, you know, if you need to find time to create this habit of prayer, couple it with something that you're already doing together. Maybe you go on walks after dinner. Maybe you go to bed at the same time like we do, or get up at the same time like you guys. Finding a moment throughout the day that you can be together. And for those who maybe are separated through distance, because, you know, there's like military families out there and other people who have jobs that they travel. Maybe there's a time of day that you come together and you FaceTime, or you can share an email back and forth. You know, there are ways of doing it, even if you're not physically in person.
What's nice about a physical book like ours is you can put this, and this is another strategy for building habit, is if you want something to happen, like our coffee makers.
Put it in front of you.
They're visible, right? You get up and you know, the coffee maker's always there. And the same goes if you want to stop doing that habit. You remove the coffee maker, you put it somewhere else. Right?
Exactly.
So you can set this book down maybe on your sink. So when you go up, get up in the morning, brush your teeth, you see it and it's out of place. And you're like, oh. Let's do this real quick.
Talk about the guilt you felt earlier, man. If you put that in your face and you're on purposely ignoring it, then
you're like, you're looking with your side eyes too. You're like, okay, it makes it an easy tool to create a new habit. But I want to take a step back. What really was motivating you both wasn't just we should do this because this is what Christian couples do. Right. Was you guys had, it started with like a desire for leadership, a desire for depth, a desire for intimacy. I just want to encourage those listening, because I've gotten into these situations where I feel very overwhelmed and I feel like a failure when I try to do a new thing and I can't get that to fit in, and my life just, like, especially we have five kids. There's a lot of things we try and like create new habits of, and we might be really great on it for, you know, a week or two. And then, man, we just slip back into old patterns and.
Or sometimes we're in really long seasons of it and then it just
stops
for a long time too.
The reality is, when it comes to this sort of thing, especially with almost anything that with your spiritual relationship with God, is it's, starts with a heart posture. Like, what do you desire to know God more? Do you desire to have a deeper spiritual relationship with your spouse and with God? Mm-hmm. And so whether that be like you getting up in the morning and you have this specific time where you pray together, that's a part of that. That's a beautiful part of that, a powerful part. But really what Jennifer and I have tried to do is we've just been convinced by life experience and by just the word of God and by knowing God, is that we just recognize that prayer is a first thing always.
A first response.
Yeah. So like everything. When we're in the car with the kids and we get a text message about a friend that's in the hospital or got sick or crashed on a motorcycle or anything, we just announce it to the children. Hey, something happened. Either we give details if we can or not. We say, would someone like to pray for this? Or let's pray for them. And we pray for them right then. When something good happens, we say, man, thank God for this. And it may not be a prayer like, hey, let's stop and close our eyes, but we are thanking God. That's a prayer. That's
your heart posture.
Yeah. It's a heart, let's acknowledge God in this moment. A lot of the Bible, God is looking for acknowledge. He's like, those who acknowledge me. That's what he wants, is a heart that acknowledges him, not just skips over him and just continues on life until we trip and fall. We're like, oh, wait, where's God? And so I think those specific habits are powerful, but that might be overwhelming for someone who doesn't have a habit at all of praying, and just turn on to say, okay, when I lay my kids down to bed, I'm going to do a quick short prayer with them. When we sit down to eat, we're going to pray and thank God for our food. When we're in the car, we're going to pray for our day. We're going to, and just incorporating it and turning your mind onto a posture of we pray.
For sure.
That is so good. Yeah. When my personal prayer life really took a change, really just did change for me, was when I stopped seeing God as more of a thing I should do, like a kind of a checklist, like, oh, I got to do that, got to do that, got to be a good Christian, and started seeing it as, if I was out of town and I hadn't talked to my wife in 2 days, I would really want to talk to my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like, that's just a given. Like, I want to talk to my wife because I love her and she's my friend, and I want to tell her about what's happening and share my excitement and my joy and my struggles and my heartache. Like, I have that desire as a human being to share. And when I turn that to God, like, oh my goodness, God is actually a being that wants a relationship with me.
Yeah.
That it all changed.
Yeah. And I love that perspective shift. And I actually saw it on page one of your book, in the introduction. And what made me think of this before I was reading in your book, and then I'll read the sentence that stood out to me. But I was talking with someone recently who said, I just don't understand the purpose of prayer. And they said, you know, we have an all-knowing God. He knows the end from the beginning. He's a good God. So he wants to give us good things, and he wants to save people and help people and heal people. She's like, so why would we need to pray for that? And I explained this perspective shift on it's less about, and there is a petition that we give to God, but it's less about petitioning him and more about being in relationship with him. Yeah. And so the sentence from your book that reminded me of that was, the purpose of prayer is not to bend God to our will, but rather to align our heart to his.
That's so good.
It's such a good perspective.
Well, and it's such a good reminder for us, because I think so often when we do come to God in prayer, which there's nothing wrong with this, but our first natural response is, God, I need, and then fill in the blank. Yeah. You're desperate for the things that we think we need. But really what happens when you experience prayer is you're immediately humbled. You realize who you're before, and petitioning and pleading for his will to be done in our lives. Just like Jesus, he set the example for us. He prayed in the garden 3 times, God, take this cup from me, and 3 times, but not my will, your will be done. So when I think about that line you just read, I think about how even Jesus was like, Lord, let your way be done, you know?
Yeah. And it is really true. I going back to that discussion about why Christians might not pray, I think we also are, there's a few things. Pride gets in the way. Mm-hmm. You know, we have pride about us of like, there's something I want, and I know God doesn't want that for me. Right. So it's like we have a desire and a will that we're afraid that he's going to take the toy from us. He's going to take away what we want. But then there's also the fear of asking him and not getting, you know, we're like, hey, I'm going to ask for healing. I'm going to ask for, you know, this new job.
Like,
I'm going to ask
disappointed of.
Yeah. Him. But he's not going to do that. And maybe I have a fear of just the way we grew up, our own relationship with our own fathers, or lack of that. And so there's this disposition toward God of lack of trusting him. Mm-hmm. So I can't go to him because I don't think he's going to do what I want. I don't think he's going to listen to me. I don't think I deserve to be listened to. Rather than coming to him with all of that and saying, I don't know what you're going to do, God. I don't believe you will, but I'm going to ask anyway. And I want you to change that disbelief in me. I think about the man that was blind, and Jesus comes, he says, do you believe I could heal you? And he says, I do believe, but help my unbelief.
Right.
And so that we can have, you know, we believe in Jesus and we believe in God, but then there's lots of stuff that unbelief exists in us that God wants to change in us. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage all the listeners that all of those insecurities that you have, or all of those fears that you have about praying to your Father in heaven, he's not intimidated by any of them. He's not afraid of them. He's not confused by them. He's not shocked by them. And that we can come to him. And like you said, that perspective shift. Yeah, of course he knows already, but he asks us to come to him. Right. Like, I know lots of things about my kids before they ever say it to me, but I want them to come to me and talk to me.
I think the word that comes to my mind when I think about that in a relationship is the word offering. And it's like you said, God knows everything, but when we offer it up to him, like, how much more beautiful of a relationship of that going back and forth with him in my opinion, I think that the offering up is a beautiful way to commune with him.
Oh, so good.
There's another scripture that I love. I believe it's Paul. He says, you know, how great is that we know God rather that he knows us. And that's the part we forget, is that it's great that we know God, but really the believer is marvels that he knows us, and that we come to him, and he invites us to come to him and reveal ourselves to him. And it's true relationship.
It's reciprocal.
Yeah. Which is unique to only Christianity.
Right.
No other world religion had a God that experienced suffering.
Mm. Yeah, not like ours.
Not like ours. Well, and became human and dwelt among us. And he knows our temptations, he knows our pains, and he's ready to receive us.
Yeah.
You know, I think just what I was thinking as we were all talking about the idea of prayer is, like, so often too, you could see your own maturity over time. You know, like, you see your kids at, you know, you have to be pretty much, you know, bottle feed them and hold them and it's very lots of coddling. And then as you grow, you know, the kids start asking for everything, right? Like, our kids, we can't go into Target without them asking for 50 things.
It's I know.
Okay. And then we have to work on gratitude. You know, I bought that for you. You need to tell them thank you.
And take care of it.
And it's funny. Like, it seems like to that same trajectory, like, I used to only go to God, like, for my needs. And God, get me out of this hole that I've dug for myself, you know? And now, like, it's, you know, it's funny, is, you know, how relationships do change when you have when you're an adult and you have an adult parent and you're able to form a real relationship and have discussions and go deep about life. And it seems like that same trajectory happens with God. The more you talk to him, the more you know him, the more you can predict what he'll say and sometimes be surprised by what he says.
Sure.
Totally.
you know what I'm saying? So it's something, it's less of a, it's less of a competition, you know, of like looking around on how am I praying stacked up to everyone else, but it's more of a journey. What journey is God taking you
and
on?
The maturity aspect.
To learn him.
I love that.
Right.
Yeah, it's really good.
Speaking of maturity and kind of training our children in the way they should go, you know, we start off as kids where we have these routines with them around prayer. We pray at bedtime. We pray before we eat. We pray on the way to school. You know, one game changer for us, and we want to hear from you guys too, around prayer for our kids was doing, it's that heart posture, but having prayer time that's outside of those routine prayer times. So not just for meals and bedtime and on the way to school, but like them waking up and seeing us on the couch communing with God and inviting them into that space.
What did Adeline say the other day when she came out and saw us praying?
I don't remember.
I forgot. It was so cute, but she's like, "Oh, you guys are praying." And then she kind of just sat next to us and watched us pray.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It was such a discipleship moment of like, we're planting this seed.
Yeah.
You know, we may not see it fruit for a while, but in Jesus' name, we'll see her someday with her husband grow up and know that this is what a fruitful marriage looks like.
Yeah,
this is what it can be. That's really beautiful.
We want to hear from you guys. What are ways that we can disciple our children around prayer?
So I think what you said, just that it's a regular thing, going back to that, hey, this is just what we do. Like, it's not, there's not one time a day that we do it. This is something we do all the time, every time, whenever. It's the first thing we go to. So teaching them that. But something that we've tried really hard to instill in our kids is, so we give them opportunity to pray. So would someone like to pray for our meal? Would someone like to pray after a Bible time? Would someone like to, and then there's, and letting them know that their prayers are enough and that their prayers are like, cause I feel like there's kids be sometimes like, oh, that was your like little children prayer. And now we're going to do the real prayer.
Oh, and, true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put anyone down because it's not wrong to also pray, but I let my kids know there's sometimes that that's it. Like, no, you know, so-and-so just prayed and we were so thankful for that. And then we move on. Or be like, oh, I'd like to pray also. So it's I'm not, replacing her prayer or supering her prayer.
A couple of weeks ago, our youngest, she's three, was praying at dinner, but you could tell she kept opening her eyes and she would just thank God for everything that she saw.
The
flowers outside. And it was so funny. And all the other kids who are older started giggling. But just being able to affirm her in that moment of like, that was a really good prayer, Edie. Like you prayed exactly what you needed to. That was really good.
And we always tell them like, God loves your prayers. And I know that for a fact, because there's so many times in the New Testament when Jesus, he's like, call the little ones to me. And he's like, see this little one? I want you to be like this. Not what you're doing over there. Be like this little one that's sitting with me and that knows me and loves me.
Another thing that I always like to do is offer prayer to my children, whether they come to me because they got hurt or someone hurt their feelings.
Well, they come in the night a lot. I had a bad nightmares. Dream. I go, come here and we pray for them.
For really random things, if they come to me, I'm like, oh, do you want me to pray for you for that? And what's really cool is I took my daughter in on a drive. We were going into town. She's 8 and we were chit-chatting about things. And then it got quiet and she goes, hey mom, is there anything you want me to pray for you for? Like your marriage or your business? And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Like, first of all, can I just say thank you, Lord, that I have a daughter who has insights like this? Because wow, like you're wonderful. And then I got to ask her to reciprocate. You know, we talked about reciprocation. I could pray for her for. And so just having that as a part of, especially when you have multiple children, like making sure that you're individualizing them and taking time separate from everybody else and just say, hey, how can mommy be praying for you?
A couple of things another thing that we do. So we have a small home church and we encourage the children to pray. Mm-hmm. We want them to. So if they pray, we all listen and we say amen with them. We thank them for being a part of our church and part of that time praying for us. Because like I said, we believe that God's listening to their prayers just like he listens to us. Mm-hmm. I think like you said, she came to pray, asked for you to pray for her.
Yeah.
There's something really powerful about humbling yourself as an adult before your child. So there's been times that we're like kind of in a tiff. And my son, he'll recognize it. He's smart.
Our 10-year-old comes and puts his hand behind both of our shoulders and says,
can I just pray for you?
Or I think you guys should just pray about this.
Yeah. And you know what? In my flesh, I want to be like, please go away. We're gonna dealing with this. But I'm like, you're right. You're right. We will in a moment. Thank you for reminding us. You're absolutely right.
That's and good.
So we have to like let him know that.
You have to be humble.
He's discerning well. And then other times I go and there's like I'm having an off day. I don't feel good. I'm like frustrated. I'm irritable. And I'll come to them and I'm like, can you guys pray for me? I'm not okay. I'm frustrated. And I need some prayer. And then I have my kids pray for me.
Which we should be doing that for each other too, as spouses. I think sometimes we forget that we have that support. And if we are able to pray for each other, and humble ourselves and just ask for that, it's such a powerful thing. Prayer has been an anchor in our marriage and our family since the beginning. And it's been such a humbling and peaceful thing for our home. Yeah. And so if I can just encourage anyone listening today, it's just take that step to pray whenever, however you can. Somewhere. Just start.
So good. I love this conversation. So many good insights and a challenge to all of us listening.
Right.
To in everything we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Like having a prayer always on your mind and on your lips. I love that. Where can people pick up your book?
So if they just simply go to themarriagegift.com, it'll take them straight to the book. We wanted to make it as easy as possible. That's the name of the book and it's the URL, themarriagegift.com. Awesome. And if they want to, we also have a podcast. You guys have a wonderful podcast, but if they want to listen to ours also, it's just Marriage After God. They can check anywhere they download podcasts.
Nice. Very awesome.
We will put all of that in the show notes. You also have a lot of books, but you have a book that we were talking about before we clicked record. Tell us about that book because it relates to our conversation.
So the podcast stemmed from this book, but it's also called Marriage After God. And the subtitle is Chasing Boldly After God's Purpose for Your Life Together. And Aaron and I wanted to collaborate and write a book that would inspire couples to see their marriage in light of God's purpose for them. And to, we give this idea of a tool belt, and how when you have a tool belt, there's all these pockets and things. Our point is that
everyone has a tool belt.
Every marriage has been given a tool belt. And our question is, what has God filled it up with that you could be using every day to bless others for his kingdom work? So things like your experiences, your testimonies, your giftings, your resources,
your past hurts.
So
we desire every marriage to pray, our desire is that every marriage would recognize that they have a ministry. Because there's a lot of Christians in the world that think, ministry is this thing over there. There's a handful of people.
Or
that
just
do
on
it.
Sundays.
I just have my 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a, and they remove themselves from a purpose mm-hmm. that God has for them. Because they're not this thing over here that they've defined as quote unquote ministry.
Yeah,
the first thing that we highlight in it is that your first ministry is your marriage to each other. And it's just that idea that we are here for one another to continually point each other back to Christ, which we all need all the time.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. Because if you can get that first ministry right, even though that person really gets you frustrated and has bad breath sometimes, maybe you can love somebody you don't know. And
Well, I would, and our argument for this, like our what we contend with is this idea that you can do ministry for God and not have a good marriage, that you can neglect your spouse and your children and your home because you're doing this great thing somewhere else.
Right.
And our argument is like, no, like the Bible, it says, if you're going to be a leader in the church, that your home's got to be in order.
Yeah, that's it.
And so when your home is in order, as we always say, your closest neighbor is your spouse. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you honor them, if you treat them well, if you sacrifice for them, if you can serve them, then ministry outside your home is going to be that much more easy, especially mm-hmm. if you're both on the same page. If you're both mm-hmm. chasing after God together, then serving the Lord outside your home is much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people look at your life, they're like, wow, actually, they do that at home too. That's like their marriage is not perfect, but they love God.
Right.
And they love each other. So yes.
Beautiful. Okay, folks. So go grab those books. We're going to put them in the show notes, Marriage After God. And then this book we've been talking about, which is The Marriage Gift, the 365 prayers. And they're so doable. Each day is just one page. So it's, or at like a half a page. And again, it's not to replace your prayer life, but it's to give you that launching pad of something to pray.
Ideas. Mm-hmm. I think of like, oh yeah, I can pray about that.
Yes. Yeah. And to help you form that habit, that rhythm of prayer.
So good.
Well, thank you so much, Aaron and Jennifer. You guys have been fantastic. And we're going to close out this episode the way that we close out all of our episodes. And that's by asking you this question. Rewind back to your first couple years of marriage. And what advice do you wish you would have received? And then fill in the blank, dear young married couple.
Oh, man, that's so good. I think for me, I would say to not be so scared of everything. And be quicker to embrace you and our reality and just what we were walking through. Because I was so quick to want to run and escape and not deal with hard things.
I would say, dear young married couple, relax and trust God. Like it's so, like you said, it's so stressful learning all these new things, and just be patient with yourself and with your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Oh. Good advice, guys.
Good stuff. Thank you guys so much for being willing to be on here and sharing your wisdom. And we're really excited about digging into this book.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, we've got an exciting announcement that's bound to set your hearts on fire.
As you know, we believe in the kind of relationships where conversations about sensitive topics like sex and intimacy can happen with ease.
But after conversations and sessions with so many of you, we know that people carry barriers and misconceptions about these topics. And it's often rooted in childhood or personal beliefs about the Bible and sex.
But don't you worry. We have something incredible coming your way. It's time to take your marriage to a whole new level.
Introducing the Eros Conference.
Eros, derived from the Greek word for erotic love, is the passionate, sensual, and romantic love that fuels the fire of intimacy between a husband and wife. It's the kind of love that intensifies with selflessness and diminishes with selfishness.
It's a love that reflects our Creator. God uses marriage and sexuality as a parallel to demonstrate His love to the church. And we're here to help you understand that connection on a deeper level.
So mark your calendars and get ready for an experience like no other. The Eros Conference is coming to 3 convenient locations in 2024. And trust me, you want to be there.
First up, join us in Indianapolis on January 26th through 27th, 2024. It's going to be a memorable start to the year.
Or if you want a hot summer vacay, pack your bags and head to the Gulf Coast. On June 21st and 22nd, 2024, we'll be in Biloxi, Mississippi.
And finally, we're wrapping up our year in Houston on November 1st and 2nd, 2024. It's going to be a Texas-sized experience.
All right, guys, so don't waste time. Your marriage deserves the best. And the Eros Conference is where it all begins.
At Eros, we're going to bring you biblically based and scientifically sound tools.
So join us because it's time to strengthen your emotional and sexual intimacy and feel more connected than ever.
Just click the link in the show notes to register.
We'll see you there.